Ramsey TV.
I take on all the tough questions, don't I? Do I ever shy away from tough questions? Never. Never. I make sense for a living, and that might trouble you today, the fact that I make sense for a living. You'll see what I mean in a second. I'm a human being like everyone else. Big surprise. Just thought I'd make that big announcement today. And so, yes, I have feelings and emotions, but I'm also logical and practical and try to look at things with a big picture in mind. By the way, I am Martin Zender. This is MZTV, and we're starting another week of broadcast excellence here from the edge of the bottom of the Florida Peninsula. If you want to read something crazy, I wouldn't recommend it, but go ahead. I'm not going to stop you. 1 Samuel chapter 15, God told Saul, the king of Israel at the time, to kill the Amalekites. These were descendants of Amalek. They were a peoples. They were a nationality. They were a tribe of peoples. And God told the king of Israel to go and slaughter them with the edge of the sword. Man, women, children, sucklings, that means little babies, all the animals, everything. Just wipe out the Amalekites. And people all through history who want to defend the Bible and defend God, they think this is the toughest problem you'll ever come up against. God killing the Amalekites. Wholesale slaughter. No doubt about it. I'm not apologizing for it. It happens. And how do you explain a loving God who would order genocide? Well, actually, I'll make an analogy for you. And then I'll tell you why. And then I'll make an analogy, two analogies. He did it because they gave Israel a hard time when Israel came out of Egypt. They wouldn't let Israel pass through, and they were real pains in the necks. So that's why. That's why God did it, okay? So, I mean, that's a simple answer. God didn't like them because they treated Israel bad, so he had them all killed. Okay, there's your simple answer. I know that's not satisfying, so I'm going to finish it. Don't worry. When a plane crashes, when an airliner crashes with 200 people, 300 people on board, it's major news. I mean, because it's obviously horrific. Nobody likes it. When it happens, a bunch of people die at once, and that's why it makes news. The weird thing is that many, many, many more people die every day in car accidents. But it doesn't make news. Why? Because it's not spectacular, but it's happening every single day. Are you getting where I'm going with this yet? Raise your hand if you are. Okay. Yeah, see a couple of you raising your hand. Good. Here's the real question you ought to ask. Not why did God kill the Amalekites? Because actually God did it through human beings. Here's the real question you need to ask. Why does God kill 178,000 people every day? Every day, God kills 178,000 people. Say, no, Martin, how can you say? No, God doesn't kill them. They die of different things. They die of cancer. They die of food poisoning. They die of car accidents. They die of all manner of diseases. They die of boredom. How can you say God kills them? Well, people die when the Spirit of God is removed from them. Only God can remove the Spirit. Revelation 1:8 says concerning Christ, I hold the keys of death and Hades. There's not a sparrow that falls to the ground without God being the cause of it. And so nobody dies early. Nobody dies young. God makes alive and God kills. He said that himself. I kill and I make alive. I kill. You might say, well, somebody who's dying a slow death of cancer, they're not killed. Well, yes, they are. They're killed by the cancer. person who dies of alcoholism, he's not killed, isn't he? He's killed by the alcohol. Who's responsible for it all? Who made it all? Who holds the keys of death? Who has the spirit, puts it in a person at birth, takes it away from a person at death? It's God. So if you want to ask the question, that's the question you need to ask. Why does God kill 178,000 people every day? But see, nobody thinks about that. Why? Because it's like the car crashes, or it's like the deaths of by cancer, or the deaths by boredom. Nobody asks about that. But when they see this, this is like the plane crash. The slaughter of the Amalekites in 1 Samuel chapter 15 is like the plane crash. It's spectacular. It happens all at once, and it's dramatic, and we see God directly doing it. Well, no, God's not even directly doing it. He's doing it through Saul, the king of Israel. Is God any less responsible? God told Saul, go out and kill all the Amalekites. They were evil against my people Israel. I want them all dead. So they were all killed. So God did it. Nobody would say that God, so I could be a Bible apologist and say, well, God didn't have nothing to do with that. It was Saul that held the sword. He had his 200,000 soldiers plus 10,000. There was 210,000 working for Saul at the time of the slaughter. And you might say, well, no, God didn't do it. Of course he did it. He ordered it and it was done. Well, likewise, God orders the death of 178,000 people every day. Every day. Can you believe it? It's a lot. It's probably more than, I don't know how many Amalekites there were. I don't know. I say at the most there were 200,000 Amalekites that were slaughtered. I mean, there's a slaughter, if you will, on this earth equal or more than or close to the Amalekite slaughter, but it happens every day, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. And if you must know, because I'm going to tell you, most people die in a manner far worse than the Amalekites died. Oh yes, far worse. I got to write something down here. Hang on a second. Got to tell you about the Sheridan syndrome, the Dan Sheridan syndrome, the pigtail principle. I'm going to tell you about the pigtail principle here. So, the question again is, why are we not upset? And of course we are deep down that so many people die every day. It's the bite of mortality. Oh, infants. Yes, of course. Infants die. I don't like it. Infants die. But in a way, they're spared. People are spared going through life. I feel bad for all death, but life is so hard that when an infant dies, it's horrible. I wouldn't want to be the parent of an infant that dies. I have every sympathy for parents of infants who die. On the other hand, I think, well, that kid was spared a lot of grief in this life, and they're still going to rise to the great white throne and be with God for eternity, salvation through Jesus Christ. So is it a bad deal? And we think of all the abortions. That's not even counting abortions. I should have added abortions to 178,000. Now we're way past the Amalekite total every single day. But it's not spectacular, so it doesn't get the notice. How could God kill the Amalekites? How could God kill 178,000 people every day? That's a question you need to ask. I know he's removed, seems to be removed from it because there's secondary causes, all the secondary causes of death I mentioned, but in 1 Samuel chapter 15, there's also a secondary cause. That is Saul with a sword. That's a secondary cause. God didn't come down and do it himself. Stand aside. No. But he takes responsibility for it, and I hold the keys of death. He takes responsibility for every single death. He kills and he makes alive. He takes responsibility for all of it. I'll tell you this right away. The key that we have that Christianity doesn't have is that God is the savior of all humanity. Yes, he's the savior of all humanity. Oh, I got to mention that too. Yeah, he's the savior of all humanity. As in Adam, all are dying. See, all are dying anyway. Ask that question. Why does all humanity die through Adam? Now we're talking about everyone who's died for all time. As an Adam, all are dying. And the creation was subjected to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who subjected it, Romans 8:20. So we're looking at an entire... Now let's take the 178,000 number and just take it to everybody that's died in the human race since the time of Adam. How many people is that? A lot more than the Amalekites. Where's the shock? Where's the shock? Well, Martin, that's why people drink and dance and have sex. They're trying to push away the reality of death. Okay, maybe so, but where's the shock? So if you start considering these things, that all humanity is dying through Adam, but all our humanity are justified through Christ, that's the rest of that verse. 1 Corinthians 15:22, as an Adam, all are dying. Do you have a problem with that? Huh? Or just the Amalekites? Thus also in Christ shall all humanity be vivified. Yes, everyone who's been killed died through Adam, i.e. will be vivified, be with Christ for eternity. For a short, brief period on this earth, people suffer and die. They all do. Pets do, dogs do, animals do. Oh, they killed the cattle and they killed all the animals in Amalek as well. Do I like it? No, man, I don't like it, but that's what happened. A lot of animals die horrible deaths. They die of starvation, they die of abuse, whatever. These were happy deaths. They all got killed by the sword. That's another thing. It was merciful. God kills mercifully. See? See? This particular incident was by the edge of the sword. I wouldn't want to see it coming. Like, could you blindfold me, Saul, first? Could you blindfold me and then just do what you got to do with that sword? It's quick. Quick. Like Saint Nick. When my wife divorced me in 2009 with no grounds for divorce, I call her the home wrecker today. I wanted to die. And I wasn't thinking of the Amalekites, but I remember I was in this miserable little apartment a mile and a half away from where I raised my kids. I was the most miserable I've ever been in my life. It was pure torture. I didn't know how to get out of it. So I just wanted to die. So I stripped off all my clothes. I laid on the floor of my, if you want to call it a bedroom. I slept on the floor for 2 years. Because I didn't put a thing on the walls. It was such a dismal place. I was in exile. It was horrible. Anyway, I asked God to kill me. And I wanted him to do it with a sword. Interesting, I thought of a sword. The sword would have felt much better than what I was feeling. So I looked up at the ceiling and I pictured this giant sword coming down through the ceiling from heaven, from God directly, and just piercing my rib cage, piercing my heart, and be all over. And I wanted to watch it. I was going through such pain that I just wanted to watch this sword, and I would have welcomed it. I would have sang it a song as it came down. Here comes the sword, the happy little sword. I wanted it. And I dared God to do it. I even counted down. 10. Now, are you God? You can do anything. 10. 9. I said, bring it. I was wanted to watch the whole thing. I got down to 1. 0. And nothing happened. I'm going, what the? I was pissed. Here I am today. So dying by the sword's not that bad. Not that bad. It's easy for you to say, Zender. No, it's not easy for me to say because I keep freaking living. I'm trying to make the best of things in life. I keep living. You keep living. It was the time for the Amalekites to die, and they died quickly. But they're going to be made alive again. They're not going to be tormented in hell for eternity. That's why Christians have to somehow get God out of the picture. They have to relieve God of the responsibility because they think that not only did the Amalekites die by the sword, including the babies, but now they're all going to be tortured for eternity. Well, that's a happy ending, Christians. Oh, no wonder you have a hard time explaining anything in the scriptures. No wonder you try to divorce God of what he does. You sick people, sick, sick, sick people with no knowledge. I might even go so far as to call you stupid because you don't even know that God reconciles all creation to himself. What? How can you not know that? 2 Corinthians 5. Colossians 1:16 through 20. Colossians 1:16 through 20. In 2 Corinthians 5:18, it says how God is at peace with the world. 1 Corinthians 15:22, as in Adam all are dying, thus also in Christ shall all be vivified. Then we get to Abraham and Isaac. God told Abraham to sacrifice his son Isaac. Same deal with a sword. Take a sword, take your son Isaac, the one I promised to give you, and go up the mountain and put the sword through his chest. Okay, how do you like that? Go ahead, do it. So Abraham said, all right, because he knew God, he trusted God, he knew God was good, and God is good. He knew God was good. I mean, death sucks, but you have to look at, there's a resurrection afterwards. And it's a resurrection to immortality, eventually, for everyone. Listen to this about Abraham. This is pretty good. Hebrews 11:17. Abraham's one of the heroes of faith. By faith, Abraham, when undergoing trial, he offered Isaac, and he who receives the promises offered the only begotten, he to whom it was spoken that, quote, in Isaac shall your seed be called, reckoning that God is able to be rousing him from among the dead also, whence he recovers him in a parable also. That speaks to the God that Abraham didn't have to do it. After all, God provided a lamb, but it was a parable that, okay, it's like Isaac died, but God brought him back to life. It was a parable of resurrection without Isaac actually having to die. But the point is that it says Abraham, reckoning that God is able to be rousing him also. So in Abraham's mind, such faith this man had. This is the faith he had. I think in his mind, he ran through the whole thing. 3 days journeying to the mountain. And I think in his mind, he's playing the whole thing out. And he's like, my God, how am I going to do this? Am I actually going to do this? So I think he thinks that as soon as he thrusts the sword into his son, that as soon as he pulls it out, the kid's going to live again. It's like, ka-ching, ka-chung. Hey, Dad, I'm okay. And Abraham gets credit for being faithful, and the kid comes back to life as soon as he takes the sword out. Because, see, he said that. I think that's what he's saying. Reckoning that God is able to be rousing him from among the dead also. I don't think he was thinking, yeah, God's going to raise him up someday. Well, God's going to be all in all. So, no, I think he thought he was going to raise him up that moment. As soon as he did it, God was going to raise him up. That's the faith he had in God. Like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego going in the fiery furnace. Nebuchadnezzar says, when you hear the music, when you hear My Woman from Tokyo playing, when you hear that song, wah, 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 I want you to bow down to the image. No, we're not going to do it. But if you don't, I'm going to put you in a fiery furnace. Well, we're still not going to do it. Well, you're taking an awful chance. Actually, you're not taking the chance of all, because I'm going to put you in the furnace, guaranteed. And they said, I love what they said. They said, well, you know, God is able to deliver us. We know that for a fact, because He's all powerful. So if he delivers us, He does. If He doesn't, He doesn't. Either way, we're not going to bow down to this statue, especially not when you play that song, My Woman from Tokyo. So I think Abraham was thinking, yes, God can raise him as soon as I put the sword in. By the time I take it out, the kid's alive again, saying, hey, Dad, what's for lunch? Likewise, but I think Abraham also was like, if it doesn't happen, I'll bury the kid. It's going to be terrible. I'm going to cry, but I'm still going to trust God because He has the keys of death and Hades, and He makes alive. See, He's going to bring him alive, maybe not instantly, but maybe tomorrow, maybe after 3 days, maybe after 30 years, who knows? But the kid's going to come back to life. And it did probably seem strange to him that the God who promised his son to him would want him to die. But God said, after Abraham told himself, this is a great test of faith. I bet you I'm going to be in Hebrews chapter 11 if I go through with this. If I go through with this, I'm going to be a hero of faith. And I'm going to be written about in Hebrews chapter 11. Oh, but seriously, folks, he would know that he'd be a monument in the Faith Hall of Fame. He'd have a bust in the Faith Hall of Fame in heaven with God. God loves being believed, being trusted. God loves it, no matter how crazy it is. So all these Amalekites, they're spared a horrible life, probably. I mean, they're Amalekites, for God's sake. I'm an Amalekite. Somebody do something about it. Okay, there. You're no longer an Amalekite. Well, you're a dead Amalekite. So, do I have a problem with it? Yeah, I have a problem with it. But I have a problem with death, period. I hate death. So I hate the death of the Amalekites. I also hate the death of the 178,000 people that died today. I hate that. I hate those people's death. But what can I do about it? It's a reality. It's a grim reality. I hate all the little babies that were aborted today. But the babies are going to be back. Oh, yes. What a deal for them. They're alive. They're a living soul. They're a human being. They don't have to go through this shit. And yet they're still human beings, like I said. So as in Adam, they're dying. Also in Christ, they shall be vivified. So they are eventually reconciled to God, and they enjoy an eternity with God, their Father. Not a bad deal. They trade like a week, a couple months of life. They don't even know what the hell's going on in there. Don't even know what the hell's going on. Next thing they know, they're flying around with God, singing and dancing. And my woman from Tokyo, she makes me sing. So how's it a bad deal? Some of the Amalekites, I'm thinking, never even saw it coming. Well, maybe the first one didn't. The rest of them, yeah, they saw it coming. If I had known that this was happening, I would go, take me first. Take me first. Make it fast. Don't miss. Please don't miss. Okay. Yeah. Horrible. It's horrible, but God's still good. I'll end with this little anecdote. Some of you may have heard me say this before, but my grandfather, name was Lloyd. I think I was 10 years old when he died, but when I was a kid, you may have heard this. I had a couple pet shop turtles. I named them Myrtle and Yertle. Well, one of them, I took him out one day because he liked to take them for a walk. You know, they lived in those little plastic bowls with the plastic palm trees that reminded him of their hometown. And I let the thing walk around. And I got distracted, probably because Batman was on. And I ended up going down the hall and I stepped on him and killed him. I was so upset. I hate that, especially when I cause it. So I cried to my grandpa. I went on his lap. I just cried and cried because I had taken something from existence. My grandpa, name was Lloyd, put his big, thick hand on my head and said, you know, it's all right, kid. Tried to comfort me. My question to him was, Grandpa, what are turtles made of? What are turtles made of? Never forget his answer. Looked at me, put that big hand on my head and said, turtles are made of turtle material. Never forgotten that. It suggested to me, don't worry about it, kid. There's plenty more where that came from.